Welcome to the Voice of Triumph, the audio ministry of Life of Faith Bible Church and Stephen Frazier Ministries, an outreach that is dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Frazier with today's message.
Hebrews, the 13th chapter. We're continuing our series on the healing techniques of Jesus. How people know Jesus was in the healing business while he was here on the earth? He was, wasn't he? Well, is he the same today? If he's the same today as he was, then he would still be in the healing business today, just as he was. You know, one of the names that God referred to himself as under the old covenant was Jehovah Rapha, which translates as the Lord our healer, or the Lord healing. The Lord healer could be translated any one of those ways. The Lord healer, that's his name. The Lord healer. So that's who he is. Then his name describes who he is. He is a healer. And if that's who he is, then that's never going to change. And we see it right here in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, in verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what he was is who he is. He's the same. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he hasn't changed and become someone else? No, he's still the same today. So his will for people is still the same today as it was back in the days of the Bible, where we read about his earthly ministry in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So what Jesus did, he still wants to do today. And so it's a matter of us learning about him and putting ourselves in a position to receive healing, to receive of whatever it is we have need from him. It's a matter of us being able to position ourselves to receive. And as we've been going through all the individual cases of healings that Jesus did through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of course we know that he did a whole lot more than what is recorded in the Bible. He did a whole lot more, but there are 19 individual cases where we get details of what Jesus did when he healed these certain people. And so as we go through this, you know, we're learning every answer to every question we might ever have concerning how to receive healing from God. So this is exciting. And not only do we want to be in a position to receive healing, but we want Jesus to be able to use his body that is here in the earth today to bring healing to others. And we are his body in the earth today. We are the body of Christ. So we've been looking at a whole bunch of cases, and tonight we are over here in Mark 7, and we're going to talk about the healing of the Canaanite woman's daughter. And when you find Mark 7, hold your place there and find Matthew 15. All right, Mark the 7th chapter, in verse 24. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. Perhaps Jesus just wanted a little privacy for a little while. And you remember, you know, last week we were talking about the healing of the two blind men. And the last thing Jesus said to them after they were healed was, make sure you don't go and tell anyone. But they went out and they just freely proclaimed it to everybody. The Bible says in verse 25, it says, for a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. Notice it's this woman, she heard about Jesus. She heard about him. How did she hear about him? Well, she probably heard all the different people testifying about all the things that he was doing, how people were getting healed, how people were getting delivered of demons and so forth. And we know, according to Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So faith begins where the will of God is known. And God's word reveals God's will. So in order for us to have faith, we have got to hear the word. We've got to hear about Jesus. She heard about him. And she came and she fell at his feet. She fell at his feet. Verse 26. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth. And she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. So this is one of the reasons why he could not be hid, because this woman is crying out after him. And she is like all the other ones that we've seen receive healing from the Lord Jesus. She is persistent. She is determined. She will not be deterred. She will not be denied. And such is the spirit of faith. Faith will not be denied. Faith is not passive. Faith is not going to say, well, we'll just wait and see if the Lord wills. That's not faith. We hear that a lot in religious circles today. But that's not faith. Faith doesn't say, well, we'll just wait and see. As we've seen through all these different cases we've looked at, there was a determination. There was a knowing the heart of God, knowing the heart of Jesus, knowing what God would do, knowing what Jesus would do if these people got to him. They knew, if I could just get to him, if I could just get to him, I know I'll be healed. I know I'll get my answer. I know I'll experience my deliverance. I mean, there was no doubt about it, no wavering about it. See, but we say, well, you never know. Well, that's just full of doubt and unbelief, isn't it? Well, I'm hoping so. We sure wish. That's all wishing and the hoping, and it's full of doubt and unbelief. There's no faith in it whatsoever. In other words, you're not really sure about God. You're not sure what he'll do. Well, nobody knows with God. Nobody knows. Well, people that read the Bible should know. Because the Bible teaches us about God. That's why we have a Bible. To learn about him. To know him. And one thing we just saw in Hebrews 13 is that he's the same today as he was yesterday, as he was back here. So you and I then should be able to have the same kind of determination as these folks had who received from the Lord. We should have the same kind of knowing. Same kind of unwavering faith that is determined and that will not let go until it sees what it is believing God for. Notice that. She kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Now notice, she was a Syrophoenician. Let's leave here and go over to Matthew. The 15th chapter, Matthew 15. And in verse 21, it says, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region. So she was a Canaanite. She was not an Israelite. She wasn't a Jewish person. She was what we would refer to as a heathen. She wasn't a part of God's people. The children of God, who was referred to as the children of God, the Israelites. She came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Me. Now, why wasn't Jesus responding to her. It was like he just kept on going about his business and he was ignoring, seems like he's ignoring this woman. Now, why would he do that? Well, we know the Bible says in Hebrews 11 that without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And it's by faith that you and I receive from God. In fact, you remember over in James chapter 1. I'll hold your place here. James chapter 1, verse 5. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now notice that there it says, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, that's freely. God gives freely to all without reproach. If you look up that word reproach, it means fault finding. So he gives to all liberally without finding fault in you. In other words, he doesn't look and say, well, you know, you got too many faults. He doesn't do that. He gives to all liberally without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But notice verse 6. But, there's a condition here. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. So there's a condition. He says, man, come. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God gives liberally, without fault finding. He gives to all who come to him. But, one condition, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So there is a condition here to be able to receive from God. God gives freely. He gives to all. But when it comes to receiving, we got to come in faith without doubting. And he says, if you come doubting, he says, let not that doubting man think that what? That God will give him anything. No, that's not what it says. That's how a lot of folks read it. Let him not think God will give him anything. No. Let not that man think what? That he will receive anything. So it's a matter of receiving. God gives freely. He gives liberally. But in order to be able to receive the blessing of God. How many people know healing is a blessing? You know, there's natural healing, but we're emphasizing here in the Word of God, divine healing. Natural healing, I mean, somebody gets cut, and I mean, they don't have to know the Lord, they don't have to pray, they can curse, drink, do all kinds of wild stuff, and yet, that cut is going to clot and begin to create a scab, which is going to end up causing new skin to form, and it's going to be completely healed. Just by a natural process. Because that's how God made human beings. The Lord our healer. The Lord of healing. When he made you and I in his image and likeness, he made us with healing built in. He made us. Some people say, well, is it God's will to heal today? Do you have any antibodies in you? I mean, healing is in the human body. There's just a natural healing. Any kind of thing that happens to somebody, I mean, the body immediately begins to fight. Begins to fight off the sickness, fight off the disease, fight for its right to be healthy and strong. It's in there. It's in everybody. So there is natural healing, but then there's divine healing. There's receiving healing by faith in God. And so, where medical science has given up and can't help you, and your body is too weak to fight off the sickness or disease on its own, thank God there is supernatural help. There is supernatural help. God has a backup plan. If the natural doesn't get it, thank God for the supernatural. Thank God by faith we can plug into the supernatural. and receive divine healing from God that way. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. That's what we see here under his ministry here in the Word of God. Healing people supernaturally. Now, to receive supernaturally from God, there's only one thing that's required of you. Faith. Faith in God. In order to receive, you can't be doubting. You can't be in the flesh. You can't do it with your head. Now, we're getting our minds renewed and we're getting our thinking in line with the Word of God, but that still isn't good enough, because you can fill your head with all kinds of knowledge about God. You can fill your head with all kinds of spiritual principles, but it has got to get into your heart. It's got to get into it. That's where faith is. It's a believing with the whole heart. Not just a mental assenting to something, to some facts. It's a knowing, it's a believing in your heart. And he says, if you don't ask in faith, if you don't come in faith, don't think you're going to be able to receive anything from God. So Jesus, he's going around doing good, healing those who are oppressed of the devil, for God is with him. He's going around doing these great things, but the one thing he was looking for from people in order for him to be able to heal them and bless them was faith. He was looking for folks' faith, right? Haven't people remember the centurion whose servant was healed? The centurion said to him, he said, Lord, you don't have to come into my house and pray for my servant. Only say the word and my servant will be healed. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, he looked around at the crowd that was following. He said, I tell you, I haven't found such great faith, not in all of Israel. Again, he was a Gentile. He wasn't an Israelite. Isn't that interesting? Seems like the people that shouldn't have great faith had great faith, and the people that should have had great faith had no faith at all. Isn't that interesting? I think it's that way a lot today. I think even a lot of Christians, you know, can get in the Word of God and be so churchy that they can just get so religious that they just lose sight of the whole thing. They get satisfied with a head full of Bible knowledge and miss the whole thing. Don't have faith in their heart. And then you got some folks, they don't know much about the Bible, but they hear a few things, see a couple people get healed. The next thing I was like, bless God, I'll take that. I mean, some of the people that I've had the most success with are people that are just brand new, born again, you know, unchurched. And not to say we shouldn't be churched. We need to be churched. But we just got to watch about it becoming a religious thing. And like I said, we just get a head full of knowledge. No, let's keep it a heart thing. Let's keep it a relationship thing. We got a relationship. This should be strengthening our relationship with him. Strengthening our faith with him, faith in him. And so, you know, but I mean, there's folks that newly saved. And I mean, I think of, you know, my brother, he had just given his life to the Lord. And he was born with two vertebrae fused together. And he had a bleeding ulcer and was addicted to cigarettes and I mean, had all kinds of issues, alcohol, and got busted for selling stuff. And I mean, he was a mess. And anyway, the night that he got born again, he was just like, man, I just feel this big weight came off me. I said, that's all the sins you've been carrying around. I said, you didn't even know you're carrying all that around. I said, Jesus just took it. He said, wow. So, you know, just a little while later, the next thing you know, he complained about his back. And my mom was over there setting up his mattress, you know, with this foam under it and everything, because he was born with these two vertebrae fused together. So I said, Jesus, just like he took your sins, the Bible says in Matthew 8:17, he also took your infirmities and your sicknesses. And by his stripes, 1 Peter 2:24, by his wounds, you were healed. And Mark 16 says that God confirms his word with signs following. I mean, I was just a little over a year in the Lord, you know, hadn't even gone to Bible school yet. He said, really? I mean, he was about to believe anything. I could have said, yeah. I said, if you jump real high, you'll fly. I could have said just about anything. He would have believed it. Because, I mean, he just got saved. He felt the burden of sin come off his life. He knew God touched him. He was just wide open. And so, man, I laid hands on him. I had him put his arms out. One arm was longer than the other. I said, in the name of Jesus, his arm shot out. Just shot out right in front of him. His eyes opened up because his eyes were closed. His eyes opened up. He knew something happened. He bent over. I said, what happened? He said, my back. He said, it feels like a steel ladder just went in my back. That's how he described it, you know, like his back just became like steel. And he bent over, touched his toes, started jumping around doing jumping jacks. He was completely healed. Before the night was over, he was healed from the ulcer. And every addiction that he had was broken over his life. I like to say he was roto-rooted. We just went in and roto-rooted him. Hallelujah. Thank God. But it was just wide open. Wide open. See, we had to just stay wide open. Like little children, right? Didn't he say? It's the little children that, you know, unless you become like little children, you're not inherit the kingdom of God. We got just childlike, you know. Just believe. Just believe God. Just believe. At this point, we should just believe God. It should be getting easier and easier to believe God. After all that we've heard, all that we've seen, all that we've experienced. I mean, it's like, what else, Jesus? Just say the word. Just show me the promise. And I'll take it. So this woman, she would not be deterred. And she kept pressing in. And notice again, She was not an Israelite, and yet she is crying out, have mercy on me, Matthew 15:22. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. Now, what does she know about the Son of David? If she's a Canaanite, she's not an Israelite. What does she know about the Messiah? What does she know about the prophecies? And how Jesus was going to be born of the seed of David, and the Messiah was going to be born of the seed of David. And so how would she know any of that? She hasn't. She's never stepped foot in a synagogue. She's probably never heard any inspired preaching of the Word of God. You know, how would she know this? Does she even know what she's saying? Or is she just mimicking what she's hearing other people, Israelites, what they're saying? Like the two blind men that came right before her. That's what they were crying out. O Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And they received their healing. So she's probably thinking, okay, that is the magic word right there. It's not bibbity bobbity boo. She probably was trying that. Now, bibbity bobbity boo. No, that didn't work. Nothing was working. Then she found the secret code to unlock the miracle. The secret code to unlock the miracle. And so she tried it out. Oh Lord, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. She kept saying that. How many of you know Jesus, he was led by the Spirit of God. He didn't react to just what he heard with his natural ears. He didn't just react and judge things according to how things appeared. This is a big part of living by faith. We got to be led by the Spirit of God. We got to follow our heart. And when you follow your heart, you're going to have something known as discernment. You're going to be discerning. And you're going to be able to discern between the real and the fake. In fact, if you hold your place there, 1 John chapter 2. Here in let's pick it up here in verse 18. Little children, he's writing to the church. Children of God, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. In other words, there's a lot of folks that are Antichrist. Christ is the anointed one, emphasizing the anointing. So the anti means against. So there's many that are against the anointed one. They're against the anointing. They're against the anointing. In other words, they're against the power of God.
Verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Talking about the church. They went out for us. They started out here in the church. But then they went out of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. In other words, they're not really of us. In other words, not real Christians. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about false brethren. Wolves in sheep's clothing. I think a lot of times we read that as wolves in shepherd's clothing. But he didn't say wolves in shepherd's clothing. He wasn't. There are false teachers. There are problems in pulpits. But there's a lot of problems in the pews too. There's false brethren. Wolves in sheep's clothing. So he says, they went out for us, but they were not of us. Verse 20. Notice verse 20. But you, little children, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, in its context, you knowing all things is knowing what? Knowing the difference between the real and the genuine. Knowing the difference between those who are real and those who are imposters. Those who are genuine and those who are counterfeit. He said, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. Well, bless God, if you have an anointing and you know all things, how much more the anointed one himself, Jesus, how much more did he know all things? How discerning he was. So we have an anointing. We have an anointing that's on the inside of us. When you were born again, when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, the Holy Spirit, he is the anointing. He came and baptized your spirit in himself. Your spirit became anointed with the Holy Spirit. You became one with him. That's that anointing that's within you. Then there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which comes after that, which a Christian, a born-again believer can receive, where now you receive the Holy Spirit upon you, and you are physically baptized in the Holy Spirit. Baptized means to be submerged. Now you're physically submerged in the Holy Spirit, in the power of God, like Jesus was when he came out of the Jordan River. The Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove. He doesn't usually come upon us now as doves. He comes upon us as fire. He could come upon Jesus as a dove because Jesus didn't have any sin in his life. There was nothing to burn up. But you need some fire. And so do I. And thank God he's purging and burning stuff all the time. Keep the fire burning. Let the purging continue. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So there's an anointing within. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's an anointing upon. Now, he's talking specifically in 1 John 2:20 about the anointing within you. And he said, but you have an anointing of the Holy One, the Holy Ghost, and you know all things. You know all things. You know the difference between the false and the fake. Just listen to your heart. Listen to your insides. Listen to your spirit, where the Holy Spirit is. And he'll lead you and he'll warn you of things. Right? Doesn't the Bible tell us he'll do that? So here Jesus is walking along. He's got all kinds of fanfare around him. People shouting, yelling, all kinds of stuff going on. Here a woman shouts out exactly the same things that these two blind men shouted out. Oh, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. So if Jesus was just operating in the natural, just operating out of the flesh, then he might have stopped and said, oh, well, she must be just like them. The only difference was, the blind men knew what they were talking about. They believed the scriptures. They believed he was the Son of David. They believed he was the Messiah. This woman has no idea who the Son of David is. She's putting on airs. She's doing something out of imitation and not revelation. She's speaking from her mental, from her mind. She's speaking out of her head. She's not speaking out of her heart.
because she couldn't possibly have this in her heart because she's a Canaanite. She doesn't know anything about this son of David business. So guess what? There's no response from Jesus. Jesus does not react to the flesh. Jesus does not react to the natural. Jesus said, "You see me, you've seen the Father." God does not react to the flesh. He does not react to the natural. You can pitch a fit. You can cry. You can scream. You can make all kinds of noise. I don't mean anything. That doesn't mean you're going to get your prayer answered. You can bawl and squall and plead and beg. Quote all the scriptures. And yet be just like this woman. Just speaking out of your head. Speaking out of imitation, not out of revelation. Just imitating somebody else. Imitating what you've heard. Just like a parrot. Oh, I've been taught this. This is what we do. I'm going to confess it. I'm going to make my confessions. It's not going to get it done. Why? Because it's not making a heart connection. To receive the blessing of God, you've got to receive it by your spirit. Because it comes by the Spirit of God. It comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. So your spirit has to make a connection with the Holy Spirit in order to be able to receive, not in order for God to give, but in order to be able to receive the blessing. Jesus is handing out spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. So you've got to get down in your spirit and operate out of your spirit in order to be able to receive the blessings he's got. And not everybody was able to receive. I mean, there were people touching him like we saw with the woman with the issue of blood. I mean, there were all kinds of people touching him and calling out to him and praying to him. And nothing was happening. And then there was that woman in Mark 5 who said, "If I can only but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed." And she pressed through the crowd. She didn't let anybody stop her. And she touched him and power went out of Jesus. Went into that woman and she felt it. She knew she was healed. Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And the disciple says, "Lord, you see the crowd thronging you and pressing up against you. And you ask, who touched me?" He said, "Somebody touched me." And the touch that he was talking about wasn't just a physical touch. It was the touch of faith. The physical was just a point of contact. But it was her heart that she made a connection with that spiritual blessing that was on his life that he was carrying around for the people. He was carrying spiritual blessings. And this woman, all these other people would touch him. Nothing happened. Why? Because it's not a physical touch. It's spiritual. It's a believing with the heart. It's a heart hookup with God. It's how it is today. Isn't that what we just read in James? Written to the church? Ask in faith. God gives freely. Ask in faith. Don't settle for the head. So we got to get real accustomed to listening to our hearts and being led by our spirit. Be sensitive to our spirit. We got to watch about doing things that dull us to our spirit. Pulls us more and more into the natural. Pulls us more and more in, you know, where we're operating out of our head. Sin will dull you. Sin, any kind of sin, any kind of disobedience to God, and you know this is the right way to go, but you go the wrong way. It's not that God's going to strike you down, but you're dulling yourself. You're dulling yourself, making yourself more insensitive to your spirit, the very thing, from the very place you're going to be able to receive from God. But thank God for 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. So the moment you repent or sin, man up to it, confess it, humble yourself, confess it. I mean, that immediately begins to make you sensitive once again. And I want to do everything I can to be sensitive to God. I want to be sensitive to my spirit. So Jesus is not reacting to the flesh. That's all this is. This is not Jesus being cruel. This is not Jesus trying to see how far he could take this woman. The woman is not making a connection. She's not connecting with the spiritual. So she will not be able to receive because it is a spiritual blessing. Notice verse 24. But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel."
Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Now notice that I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I mean, you know, that statement right there could, I mean, in today's world, it would categorize Jesus as a racist, right? She could have got very offended at that, right? I mean, not only is he ignoring her, but now he says, I wasn't sent except to the children of Israel. Really, by that statement, Jesus is showing what he knows. That he knows that this woman does not know what she's talking about when it comes to thou son of David. You are not an Israelite. He's got her number. Over in Ephesians 2:12, it says that at that time, before you were born again, before you were saved, before you knew the Lord Jesus, he said at that time you were without Christ. What a terrible place to be. My God, can't believe I was ever there. You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Notice that. Before you came into the understanding of Jesus and you got born again, he says, man, you were an alien of the commonwealth of Israel. You were like this Canaanite woman. You were a stranger from the covenants. She's a stranger to the covenant that God had with his people, Israel. She was a stranger to that covenant. Having no hope, she was in a hopeless situation and without God in the world. And yet here she is. She's gotten no hope, no covenant with God, and yet she takes ownership of Jesus as her Messiah. She lays claim to him as the son of David. And yet Jesus recognizes, you're not of the house of Israel. You're a stranger from this covenant, and he doesn't even respond to it. Not because he doesn't want to, but because she is not in a position to receive. Remember, it's about receive. It's not about God giving. It's about receiving, us receiving from God. She was not in a position to receive. So coming back here to Matthew 15:25. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Sounds like she's just getting down to the basics. She's starting to put away the church lingo. You know, there's a lot of church lingo. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, brother. Right? There's a lot of church lingo. People put a lot of church lingo into it. You know, I remember one time I went to God. Oh, God, thou art God. I thought, my God, that's not me. You know? Sometimes folks go into prayer and they become somebody else. No, you might as well just go in there and be who you are. God knows who you are. He saw how you were talking to everybody else. No sense in you becoming King James-ish when you talk to him, you know. People come real King James-ish when they talk to God, you know. Thou art, thy will, thy holy presence. I remember one time I was in a situation. I was out in Oklahoma at the time. I was getting depressed. I was feeling just so out of touch with God, so fleshy. And I ended up sitting down out on this park bench. I was out on this park bench. I sat down on the park bench. And I thought, my God, I need to hear from God. I need some help right now. Just help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. And I sat on the bench. I said, sometimes I come to you and you're God. And you're Lord. And I'll come down. I'll lift my hands to you. I'll bow my knees before you. I said, but right now, you're my father, and I'm your son, and we need to have a father and son talk. That's what I said. I couldn't do all the other stuff. There's a time and a place for all that, don't get me wrong. But I didn't have that. I just didn't have anything. I didn't feel spiritual at all. Devil been telling me, just walking next to me saying, you're a flesh creature. You're a flesh creature. And I just felt so disconnected from God. I said, but I know you're my father. And so even though I don't feel spiritual, I don't feel like I can do anything ooey, wooey, gooey, I know I've got a covenant with you. I'm a son of God. You're my father. I'm your son. We can have a father and son talk. Oh, thank God for the relationship we have with God as our father. Amen. Hallelujah. We've got a whole lot more than this woman had. You understand? She had nothing. You and I got a covenant with God. You and I have been born again. We've got more than what the Israelites had. They didn't have the new birth. Now you and I are children of the Most High God. God is our Father. We don't have to go begging and crying out and bawling and screaming. We just talk to Him. And so I listened. I said, "You're my God," and I said, "We need to talk right now." And I said, "I needed help." And I took my Bible. I had it sitting next to me on the bench, and I flung it open, and it opened up to a scripture. And I looked down. I just started reading, and it jumped out at me, and I got revelation. And God just totally delivered me out of that situation. Just totally delivered my soul. I mean, I was completely set free. That's where freedom always starts, on the inside. A lot of times folks are looking for answers out here. "Lord, if you just change this, change him, change that." And meanwhile, the change is right here. That's where the blessing comes. See, it's a spiritual blessing. It's from the inside out. It starts on the inside, and it changes everything on the outside. So I just got real God, and bam, I got answers. Just as easy as that. Hallelujah. Thank God for it. Thank God. She just came, "Lord, help me." She came and she worshiped him. And that says a lot too, you know. I mean, she obviously, however she did that, I mean, she got down and she worshiped him. She wasn't feeling uncomfortable about everybody else and what they would think. What did she? She didn't worry about it. She just got down, got real, and she worshiped him. We just got to get real before God. See, that's key to be able to receive from him. Thank God for all the amen, praise the Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus, and all the lingo and all those things. And praise God, it can help you. But it could also be a hindrance too, if it turns you into something you're not. Just get real before God. Humility is real before God. Verse 26, "But he answered." I mean, surely this is it now. She's gonna get what she came for, right? But she's worshiping him. "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." How many people know that's it for a lot of people right there? It is over right there. They're done. They're finished. You just called me a little dog. Are you serious? Let me tell you about you. You little judge. You judger. I mean, how are you going to let somebody just look at you and say, "You little dog"? You're just a little dog. How are people going to allow that to happen? Interesting, isn't it? I want you to notice also, look at that verse. He answered and said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." What's the children's bread? What's she crying out for? She's crying out for what? Deliverance. She's crying out for healing on behalf of her daughter, right? So he says it's not right to give the children's bread to the little dogs. So is he here saying that healing, deliverance is the children's bread? That's exactly what he's saying. Do we have any children of God in the house tonight? Yes. Friend, healing is your bread. Deliverance is your bread. As a child of God, it belongs to you. He has prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemies. And on that table is healing bread. There is bread, there is healing, there is deliverance. It belongs to you. I said it belongs to you. The Bible says it belongs to you. As long as we're walking around going, "I don't know if it's God's will to heal me or not." Are you a child of God? Yes. Then it's your bread. It's as natural for you to be healed and delivered as it is for you to be able to go home and have a slice of bread. That's what my daughter loves to eat. She loves bread. You know, sometimes it's a little much. She said, honey, what would you like to eat? Toast. She's like, toast. I said, can we do something else? And last night she's like, toast. I said, no, how about a pear or an apple or something like that? She likes her bread. She'll wake up in the middle of the night and say, can I have some bread? Toast. These are little phases children go through, if you understand. Right now we're in the toast phase. Mark likes his yogurt. Alyssa likes her toast. It's her bread. Right? And sometimes you want to give her something else, you know, a little variety. But I mean, that belongs to her, right? She even knows how to do it now on her own. She can go in there, next thing you hit, ding, you hear the toaster, ding. She's out there making her own toast. She knows it belongs to her. She's a child of mine. The bread that's in the house belongs to her. I got news for you. The bread of healing belongs to you as a child of God. Let's stop doubting that. And let's know these things are ours. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so here in Mideast culture, calling someone a dog was saying that they were unclean and unfit for fellowship. So he's saying, man, you're unclean. You're unfit for fellowship. And you say, well, why is he doing this? Is he just like insulting this woman? Why would he do this? No, he's trying to help this woman locate herself. You are not an Israelite. You're not Miss Pharisee. You're not a spiritual person. You're not even a religious person. You've been living like a dog. So get real with me, honey. Get down in your heart. Get real. And then you're on the way to receiving your miracle. You're not going to receive being something you're not. How can you receive something when it's not you that's receiving, but you're someone else? Get the CD. I'm sure it makes sense. Listen to it again. You got to be who you are for you to receive. You can't be someone else and expect you to receive. Right? So Jesus, he's helping this woman get real. He knows exactly where she's at. And think about it. Her daughter is severely demon-possessed. Her daughter is. Her little daughter. How many of you know a little daughter doesn't have any authority of their own? They are completely at the mercy of the authority of their parents. So for a demon to get in there and cause that daughter to be severely demon-possessed, there's a good chance there was a lot of unclean spirits hanging around the house where mommy lived because of the way she was living. The Bible talks about not giving place to the devil. And this was an unclean spirit. So her daughter's severely demon-possessed. Obviously here it's being attributed to her living like a dog. And notice this. Notice this woman's amazing, uncommon response. She says in verse 27, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Man, she just put off all the religious lingo, all the fake faith. She had faith in there. She didn't need to puff it all up with a lot of fake faith. I think that's where a lot of people miss it, you know? It's like, there's faith in you, but then you feel like it's not adequate enough. And so you begin to try to hyper-spiritualize and you put more on it than you really need to be doing. And you actually hinder the whole process of receiving from God. You actually make it more difficult for yourself. We got to stop making it difficult on ourselves. Get real.
Like I said the other day, I'm preaching on the subject of pride and humility. Mark and I were walking through a restaurant. Some things happened, and the hostess wasn't very hospitable. But anyhow, we were walking through, and Mark chimed in. He said, "Dad, they're going to think we're idiots, or you're an idiot, or something." I think he said, "We're idiots. We're stupid. We're stupid. They're going to think we're stupid." I said, "We are." "But we are. We're stupid, man." You know, you hear people say, you know, "Well, you see, they need God because, you know, there's some people that are weak and they need that." That's me. "You're so strong and wonderful, you don't need God." I understand that. I need him. I'm an ignoramus without him. I need the mind of Christ. I need the word of God. I need that word right there. That isn't a little supplement to my intelligence. I'm a scholar, and the Bible is a little supplement to my, you know. You kidding me? I need the word. I need to know him. I need his help. Help, Jesus. When you understand that apart from him, you're a dog, then there's nothing anybody can say to you that would offend you. "You're an idiot." "I know." I mean, go on. Just go. I'm all those things apart from him. Apart, but thank God I'm not apart from him. Hallelujah. In him, man, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I got the mind of Christ. I got an anointing of the Holy One, and I know all things. But it's all in him. And when you are completely dependent upon him for righteousness and for everything, then, man, how can you get wounded and hurt by somebody just calling you what you are according to the flesh apart from him? Right? Because we're all those terrible things apart from him. So it's all by him. It's all by the grace of God that we are what we are. Glory to God. So this woman got down and she got real with Jesus. She humbled herself. She got all the false stuff off of her. And as a result of that, her faith was able to now shine through. That persistent, unwavering, will not be deterred, will not back down faith. Because that's what faith is. It is not passive. It is aggressive. It is persistent. Faith is persistent. Praise God. She had such faith in the power of God that was upon Jesus that she understood, if I can just have a little crumb. I mean, I don't need God to get Michael and Gabriel and get the operating table out and do a big surgery here. I don't, just give me a couple crumbs. And it'll do the job. A couple crumbs from God will take care of everything. Do you believe that? Oh, hallelujah. And we get the whole loaf. Oh, man. I mean, if the crumbs will deal with, I mean, the crumbs will drive demons out there, what will the loaf do? Because you'll be able to share with others. Because you'll be able to help other folks get a hold of this. Help other folks get saved. Help other folks get healed. Help other folks get delivered. Hallelujah. Verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith." That's what he was looking for the whole time. But he knew the only way we're going to get there is she's got to get real. She's got to get real. She's got to come to terms with who she really is to be able to connect with God. You see, faith and humility working together here, can't you? You can't have great faith apart from humility. Humility and great faith, they work together. He says, "Oh woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Here's this woman, had little opportunity. A stranger from the covenant of God's, you know, the covenant of God, the promises of God, all these things. And yet here she had great faith because she heard a little bit about Jesus. And she humbled herself and received from him. You know, persistence pays off. Turn to somebody and tell them, say, persistence pays off. Hallelujah. With fixed determination, she persisted. She persists. The characteristic of her great faith can be found in her willingness to persist and humble herself. Man, how many people are going to press into God? Man, not be denied, not be put off. Take hold of what belongs to you. Say, healing is mine. Now, we understand there are a devil, there are demons, spirits of infirmity. We see that in the Word, that'll try to keep you from these things. But bless God, you can't be kept from it, because you know it belongs to you. Hallelujah. Say it with me. Say, healing is mine. It belongs to me as a child of God. It's a part of the bread that's on the table that the Lord has prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. I'm going to eat, I'm going to enjoy, and I'm going to share it with others. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Let's stand on our feet and thank the Lord tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about this ministry, contact us at Life of Faith Bible Church, 14200 Spiegel Lane, Louisville, Kentucky, 40299. Or call 502-240-0016. You can also visit us online at lofbc.org.